Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jones! Bowden! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket in association with LV Insurance, the sponsors of this fascinating test series on another fascinating day, the second day here at the Oval, and England getting an excellent lead of 99, having declined to 62 for 5. And then, well, the Indians striking back towards the end with that very good opening stand, a nervy time to bat, but they looked calm and composed and didn't lose a wicket. So in a way, all to play for, all quite neatly balanced. England have a lead of 50 odd. How much is that going to matter, do you think, in the sort of final equation?
Well, in England, as you say, got a good lead. I think if you'd offered them a 100 lead this morning, they probably would have taken it, certainly 62 for 5. But the calmness with which Rahul and Rohit Sharma played before the close suggested to me that this pitch is quiet and down. Ollie Pope said afterwards, you know, it's quite slow. It's going to be hard, possibly, to get India out in their second innings for the England bowlers. A lot of hard work ahead. And it may well be that England face the prospect of a reasonable chase in their fourth innings. I mean, it's only the third day tomorrow. The weather forecast is good. The pitch looks good. And you've got some class players who are really waiting for decent batting conditions. It's been tough for them, hasn't it? In the last three innings, two at Headingley and one first innings here, you know, having been put into bat. But at last, it seems, some good batting conditions. Can they make the most of it? I think that's the challenge for the Indian players on the third day. I mean, I know they're batting under a bit of pressure, but, you know, there is an opportunity for them.
I suppose you say that it's been hard batting conditions. I mean, it has been, but I look at these pitches and the amount of movement, and I don't think that the pitch is necessarily that difficult. I think it's the quality of the bowling, the class of the bowlers, the fitness of the bowlers, the accuracy, the precision, the data that they can come armed with, their plans for different batsmen. Obviously, the Duke's balls as well are a massive advantage in English conditions. I mean, this pitch started a little bit green, I suppose, but today it looked pretty good. I think it had hardened up and quickened up a little bit. I just think the skill of a bowler like Bumrah, for instance, who, you know, angles the ball in but still manages to take it away, and it's very difficult to know which balls to play and which balls to leave. It's high-class stuff. England, with Anderson, their greatest ever pace bowler, Robinson looking excellent as well, Chris Wokes back to the side. You know, we're talking about some really high-class operators. I think the Indians' support bowlers today perhaps weren't quite as good as they have been in earlier tests. But still, and that's probably one of the reasons why England were able to recover from that 62 for 5. So, you know, it's bowlers absolutely exploiting slightly helpful conditions and batsmen who are not necessarily that good at dealing with movement. But that's been the story for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, when I say conditions and pitches, I think I mean that sort of the all-round package, really. Mm. You know, you do find a situation where teams have to bat these days with floodlights on, cloud cover, something in the surface, a relentless pace bowling attack. And I think it's that all-round package that India found difficult in their last three innings to cope with. Certainly, you know, the two innings at Headingley, although they, you know, they had that good day last Friday and then they just got rolled over on the Saturday. Perhaps, you know, scoreboard pressure came into it. And in the first innings here, there was something in the pitch on that first day. But I think the point is that if you're not going to make runs, if you're ever going to make runs, it's going to be on the third day at the Oval in decent batting conditions, pitch that's, you know, flat. Okay, you've got that quality of bowling, that relentlessness of bowling, but even you know, even that can be subdued you know, eventually on a good surface. And this is probably, I would say probably, this is going to be the best batting surface in the series so far on the third day, you'd think that, you know, that perhaps the pitch will offer a bit more to the bowlers as the game goes on. But you think third day, yeah, the sun's going to be out. It's an opportunity for India. I think that's the point to make. It's a great opportunity for India. Can they take it? And the way Rohit and Rahul batted this evening, it must have given a huge lift to that dressing room. There is the prospect of getting ahead and putting some pressure on England in that fourth innings. And it might well be that, you know, England's batting line will be able to deal with it. They didn't at Lord's, but they might be able to deal with it here because the surface is generally better and the conditions for batting better. Let's have a look at this who's winning graphic tonight then, Yoz. And it's much closer, isn't it? England's still ahead, but India are much closer to them.
Yeah, I mean, we left it yesterday with England about sort of 70% chance of winning and India about 25%. Then there was that dip in England's fortunes today when they declined to 62 for 5. Then a climb up to the heights of 70% again with Bairstow and Pope and then latterly Wokes. And then India have sort of fought back, you know, in the last, I suppose, hour and a half, where they trimmed England's aspirations a little bit with those wickets of Moeen Ali and Ollie Robinson playing a bit of a bad shot. Wokes, kind of, you know, valiant to the end, got England to a lead of 99. But actually, at that sort of mid-afternoon period when Moeen and Pope were going so well, I mean, England would have thought of a 150 lead. So the Indians have fought back well and not lost a wicket in the last session, which is why we now have India at probably 48%, England about 50%, and then the draw negligible. So it is very much in the balance. It's almost like a one-inning game. As long as the Indians can get back to roughly parity with only, say, one wicket down, it pretty much is a one-innings match, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think, you know, India have given enough confidence to the rest of that dressing room that this evening suggests they can make it hard for England in the rest of this game. The draw is well out. I mean, it's hard to see a draw from here. There's sort of one sort of scenario. If India batted, you know, really big in their second innings, you know, really big, scored 500 on, you know, on a surface that just became so benign, and then England found the prospect of having to bat out perhaps four sessions to draw the match. They probably couldn't win it because it was too far ahead of them, and they just had to bat out. And even that is, you know, might be quite difficult these days for teams to bat out that long for a draw. But it, you know, in this sort of wonderful, fluctuating, unpredictable series, you know, who knows? I mean, that could happen. Of course, last Friday night we were saying, you know, India could, you know, bat big in their second innings, and Pujara was there with Kohli, and they fell in a heap on the Saturday, lost 63 for 8. England were hoping for something similar, or at least a few wickets in the morning. I think the one thing about this evening is that England didn't really look like, you know, taking a wicket. There was the occasional ball going past the outside edge. There was an inside edge past the leg stump from Rahul. And there was that one big moment, the drop catch, where Rory Burns just didn't seem to pick it up at all. An edge from Rohit Sharma just pushed forward. It was a relatively straightforward edge, low to Burns's right-hand side, and it hit him on the boot and went for four. And he was sort of saying, oh, I just didn't see it. And this is a guy who, you know, this is his home ground. He plays here. He knows the conditions. Talking to one or two of the, you know, players who played it, like Tuffers, Jonathan Agnew's played on this ground. Like, it's a difficult seeing ground, although, you know, the ground has probably changed quite a bit since they played here. But Burns said he didn't see it. I mean, quite a big moment that Rohit put down early on six, and an escape for him, genuine outside edge, and a sort of quite a deflating moment for England. But what a fluctuating day though, Yoz.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Andy Zaltzman's got a stat, hasn't he, that England's lower order today, three men in the 30s from 6 to 9, or even four men in the 30s from 6 to 9, only the third time they've ever done that. The sort of lower middle order strength of England coming to their rescue and getting that lead when they were 62 for 5. And, you know, actually some really good players there. Moeen, he continues to be a bit frustrating because, you know, he does get out just when you think he's got the bowlers by the short and curlies. Pope, I thought, played really well today. We'll talk about him a bit more perhaps in the second half. And then, you know, support acts, Bairstow. Again, I mean, Shane Warne was saying on commentary, actually, the time to think about getting Bairstow out. Where is it when he's got to about 30? Because that's his test average. And it's odd how often he does threaten a big score and then just misses a fairly straight ball, quite often LBW in the latter stages of his test career, the last year or so. And Wokes, what a cricketer. You know, 50 again. I mean, you sort of wonder why England don't just automatically pick him every time he's available. But it has been a funny year, I suppose, for him. And it shows, doesn't it, that, you know, you don't need first-class cricket. When you're as good as he is, experienced and obviously with a fine record, you don't need much first-class cricket, do you? Because he hasn't played a single first-class game and he's got four wickets and an excellent 50. Today, we're profiling the work of the Change Foundation in Surrey, who've received a grant from LV Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs Community Initiative to fund additional coaching for a group of young refugees aged 14 to 20 in Croydon and Sutton. The foundation will use the support to run a series of T20 matches each week through the late summer to not only provide a wholesome activity during summer and autumn, but with the benefit of helping to support the young people with integrating into life in the UK. The foundation already has experience in this area through the Refugee Cricket Project, and the funding will allow them to take that extra step in assisting these vulnerable young people.
Well, you look at the two players that have starred, well, starred today for England, starred in this game for England, Wokes and Pope, and they've hardly played in recent weeks at all. You know, perhaps best when fresh, and the more you play, the more jaded you become. If you're nice and fresh, you've got a lot to prove, and you're ready. It goes against the old sort of Geoffrey Boycott mantra of, you know, you need about 42 warm-up games before you feel a nick on a tour, say. But, you know, perhaps in your own conditions, you're used to them. Pope saying afterwards, you know, I've been practicing hard for a month. You know, I felt confident, I felt ready. And he knows this ground well. Of course, it's his home ground. And he's got such good memories of playing here. I mean, he came into this innings, you know, averaging 100 in first-class cricket. And not over, you know, two or three innings. You're talking about, you know, a reasonable number, reasonable body of innings as well. And he went close to producing another 100 today on this ground. Really, he's really frustrated to get out in the way he did. It was a drag on. It was a wide ball. He chopped it on Shardul Thakur. But having said that, it wasn't the first time he nearly dragged on in his innings. So it wasn't like one blemish in isolation. There were others as well where he nearly played on. So perhaps there's just a sort of technical aspect. I think it's that sort of trying to run the ball away into the offside, and if it just comes back a fraction, takes the inside edge and goes onto the stumps. Well, he got away with a couple, but he didn't get away with one on 81. He played well enough to get 100, but, you know, in a way, a sort of bittersweet day. You know, better than naught, better than 10, better than 20. You know, nice to be back in the side, back from injury, and some runs on the board. His first half century for England, actually, in 16 innings.
Mm. Well, he certainly gets our In With Heart award today, the LV Insurance tag which we're using through this series to try and identify a player who, you know, shows grit and determination. And actually, what he was saying after the game was that he's actually, although he hasn't played, he's studied this series and watched the bowlers carefully and adapted his technique a little bit. So instead of standing on off stump, which he was early in the season and actually had some success for Surrey doing that, he's now gone back to a sort of middle and leg stump guard to try and stay more beside the ball. He, I think, noticed that the Indian bowlers like targeting the stumps and trying to get LBWs. And actually, that's something I think Alistair Cook has mentioned as well, that in the last sort of couple of years, that more and more seam bowlers are targeting the stumps and trying to get LBWs, induced by the possibility of DRS and, you know, various LBW not out verdicts being overturned. So Pope's really studied that and realised he's better trying to get his bat to the ball and keeping his legs out of the way. It's how players, batsmen changed their method against spinners about 10 years ago when sort of DRS first came in. And now they're doing it against seamers as well. So, you know, well done to Pope for adapting his technique in the middle of a season and having the confidence to try it in a test match as well for the first time, having really not played much cricket. And Norton won, I think, in one recent List A game, or Norton won in game and one in another. So no real runs to show for it, but worked hard in the nets and really stuck to his, I suppose, intentions and style and method. Busy at the crease, some lovely shots on both sides of the wicket, not overawed by the occasion or the challenge of England being 62 for 5, played really well. And we have said on this show before that he's one player that had been struggling a bit, but looks as if he's got a bright future, and he showed it today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he made his debut at quite a young age, didn't he? And you know, he is one the English system, the English hierarchy, whatever you like, the management, the coach, you know, they do like. And you know, straight back into the side, you know, once he was available again. You know, once there was an opportunity to bring him back in with Butler dropping out. I suppose what you think about now is what do they do? I mean, he's created in a way sort of quite a nice headache for them about who they play, who they leave out. For the next game, it depends. I suppose it depends whether Jos Butler comes back into the side, doesn't it? We'll wait and see on that, whether he does come back or stays on paternity leave. Just on England's batting today, there were some loose shots. I mean, if you just see the highlights in isolation, I mean, sometimes you have to see wickets in context. Overton, Moeen Ali, Robinson. It feels that they all rather chuck their wickets away. And actually, we talk about our In Heart Award, our LV In Heart Award. I mean, I actually thought Jimmy Anderson played really sensibly today. I mean it was only a small part of the day, but he really helped Chris Wokes. He showed some grit. He had to take a few short balls, with a new ball, and he just hung in there. And Robinson came out in a rather cavalier fashion and threw it away with a huge hoik. And I thought, I can understand that, because at the other end there was Chris Wokes, who's a proper player. If Robinson had just played with him for a bit, who knows where England could have gone. You know, there were runs out there today, and to some extent England profited, thanks to Wokes and Pope, and to some extent they rather frittered away. And Moeen was one who did, you know, I thought he played really nicely, played, you know, several fine strokes, one delightful shot through the offside on the up, and then had a huge hoik at Ravi Jadeja and skied one and Overton early on. You think, well, you know, the night watchman, you always think with a night watchman, if you can really frustrate the opposition, if you can stick around, score a few runs the next day, and it just takes some of the heat out of the bowling. And he had a wild slash outside the off stump in the second over and was caught at first slip. Anyway, you know, there were sort of good and bad from England today. Whether 290 is a sort of big enough score on this pitch, I'm not sure whether they could have made a bit more of it, but they did make something of it. I think that's the thing, isn't it? And what it's done is it's created a really fascinating last 1, 2, 3 days of this Test match.
Yeah, I mean, I think we said yesterday that a par score on that pitch was about 280. I think it's sort of edging up a little bit now to, you know, a par score is more like 300. And that should have been England's target. And it was really only Chris Wokes' ingenuity and a little bit of, as you say, Jimmy Anderson's staunchiness that allowed them to get close to 300. But yeah, I think, you know, if you were in the dressing room now, you'd sort of think, well, thank God we got past 62 for 5 and recovered. But could we have done a bit more? Could we have given ourselves a 140 lead? That would have been a better cushion. And it would have also put the pressure on the Indians more. But they've seen how the pitch is actually playing pretty well. They've also seen how England have, you know, thrown one or two wickets down the order way. I mean, of course, it is hard to blame bowlers. You know, someone like Ollie Robinson, who's, you know, new to Test cricket, focuses very hard on his bowling, mentally really concentrates. So when he's batting, you know, you do free up the spirit a bit. But I think he'll look at himself and think, yeah, I could contribute more. Craig Overton as well. Just contribute that little bit more. Just stay in a bit longer. When you've got somebody like Wokes the other end, you know, that it could get 70 or 80. So, yeah, England just need that little bit more ruthlessness sort of let down the order. But, you know, it, as you say, it's left a brilliant sort of taste in the mouth after 2 days, after what, four and a half Test matches, or three and a half Test matches, I suppose, halfway into the fourth. You know, it's impossible to call the outcome of this game or the series.
Yeah, I mean, it seems sort of nitpicking in a way to sort of criticise Robinson, because he's been superb with the ball in this series. I don't, in a way, it's sort of like, you can understand him playing a few shots, but he just needed to get himself in a bit. And it was a big shot too early with Wokes at the other end. I know the new ball was coming as well, and you think, well, let's get some runs before the new ball comes. But Anderson actually showed what's possible. And just, I thought it was a real sort of common sense, pragmatic, sort of hard-nosed, professional last wicket stand, really useful, that's given England this lead that's close to 100. But India, of course, by the close of play, have chipped away at it. It feels like we've had loads of cricket in this game already. It feels like we've had more than 2 days. And there's a possibility, of course, it could be a 3-day Test match. It feels unlikely, but it feels like we've had stacks of cricket already. And if you've got a ticket for tomorrow, what a day to come along. Although I think you've definitely had your money's worth today. We should talk about India's bowling, Yoz. You touched on it. It just felt today as if perhaps the backup bowling just lacked a little bit of venom.
Well, they should have picked Ashwin. It's insane that they didn't pick Ashwin. What do you why do you leave a bowler of that quality on the sidelines for four tests? Shardul Thakur is a workmanlike bowler. He didn't have his best day today. I always think Umesh Yadav is someone who can get wickets but also can go for runs, and he did. He does bowl you some nice juicy balls to hit. So they weren't as tight as with Shami in the team. So they missed him, and I think they'll really rue not having Ashwin in the fourth innings as well.
Well, that suggests that you think that England are going to go on and win this Test match. I know we've tried to steer clear of predictions in the last, few days of this Test series. But, I mean, it sounds to me as if you think England are,
they obviously they need to bowl India out for under 300 or thereabouts, which would then give them a 200 run chase. I think that England will get those because, firstly, they've got more depth in their batting now, and secondly, the Indian bowling isn't as strong as it was in earlier games. Shardul Thakur is not as good a fourth seamer as, say, Shami or one of the others that has played earlier. And they miss Ashwin. They haven't got Ashwin. So, and I think Bumrah's just showing a little bit of the signs of fatigue as well. So, yeah, I think that they might just rue not picking Ashwin. And actually, he could have given the other quickers, particularly Bumrah, a bit more respite today rather than having to turn to him all the time. So I think India's selections could cost them this Test match, but England have to bowl India out for, 300 or under. What do you think?
And what if they don't? What if they get 350 and it's a 250 chase?
Then I reckon India might win.
Yeah, and one thing we said is that India can win with Ashwin and without him, and they very nearly did at Trent Bridge, and they definitely did at Lords. So it's not impossible for them to do so. We've got a great last however many days left of this Test match, and we'll be back to review the third day. At this time tomorrow, when
remember it's Saturday. By the way, it's Saturday tomorrow. Well, it's not Friday. I heard you get your days wrong on TMS.
Yeah, sometimes. So, every day's the same, isn't it? Every day's an exciting day at the cricket, but it all feels the same, whether it's Saturday or Tuesday. Anyway, it's been a brilliant series. It has been a fantastic series, and we've still got more enthralling cricket to come in this Test match. England, we're hoping your who's winning graphic is a bit more sort of in their favour tomorrow after India's mini fight back this evening. Anyway, brilliant day. Time to say goodbye and hope for more tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.